Another difference between then and now is that in classical Athens, all male citizens, whatever their socio-economic background, whether they were noble or non-noble, had in theory equality in deliberating about state policy and equality in the eyes of the law. The Athenians coined a buzzword for this, isonomia, and they lived by it. In the mid-5th century, Herodotus could say that, quote, the sovereignty of the people has firstly the fairest name of all, equality before the laws. And in the late 4th century, the orator Isocrates says much the same thing. He says, it would be most frightful if, in a democratic city, all men should not have equal rights. Such equality, especially before the law, is supposed to be true today. But there have been enough high-profile cases in recent years to suggest that money and celebrity status don't necessarily work against you. There is, however, a big difference when it comes to exercising political power. In the radical Athenian democracy, that's the one after Ephialtes, there was not really a dividing line between the ordinary citizens and those who were elected to office, unlike today. In the radical democracy, the ordinary people played a far more direct role in political life because it was the assembly that decided all matters of domestic and foreign policy. The assembly was ably backed by the boule, which had all sorts of administrative and judicial functions. And these included hearing major public cases such as eisangeliae or impeachments. The boule also kept an eye on all public officials, it received foreign envoys, and it was responsible for all financial matters, including payments on behalf of the state. There was no opposition party in residence in classical Athens, like today, because there was no need of one. The people were sovereign, and they had the power to impeach or condemn their elected officials. Today, the job of the citizens is to elect its officials, whether these officials are the local mayor, the sheriff, the state governor, or the president or prime minister of the country. Then the people's job is over. It's this elected elite that makes policy. The ordinary people have delegated this job to the elite, and for the most part, they have to go along with what the elite decides. Grumbling and writing blogs are about all we can do if we disagree with things. I mean, despite the extremely low votes of confidence that leaders pull at times, are they ever kicked out? Well, in Australia, in November 1975, the Governor General, that's the Queen's representative, did fire the then Labour Prime Minister, Gough Whitlam, and he appointed the leader of the opposition, Malcolm Fraser, as caretaker Prime Minister. That sparked a constitutional crisis. There was a lovely line that Gough Whitlam delivered about the Governor General. His name was Sir John Kerr. He said, Kerr might well sing God Save the Queen, but no one's going to save him now. But this sort of thing, firing prime ministers, isn't exactly an everyday occurrence. Thanks to state pay in classical Athens, and state pay was introduced in the 5th century, Athenians could afford to take part in political life, especially serving for that 1 year in Athens on the boule. As we said in our lectures on Cleisthenes, the boule is the closest thing we get to proportional representation in Greece. And once state pay is introduced, that means more people from different areas of Attica could afford to move to Athens for 1 year and be members of the boule. Moreover, since members could be elected to the boule twice, though they couldn't serve in consecutive years, That meant that a fair percentage of those living in rural Attica did take part in the state government at Athens.